Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of 1 Samuel chapter 5, we were talking about the fact that the Israelites never tried to rescue the ark from the Philistines. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, isn't it interesting? Israel never attempts to rescue the Ark of God from the Philistines. Maybe because it failed them as a good luck charm, they decided, well, it's not worth going after. And then on the other hand, perhaps the Philistines have it in the fortress just in case they try. But when you look at it, the Israelites are thinking like the world. And they think, well, you know, this really didn't help us, so we're going to abandon this. We didn't get enough people using those hymns, so we're going to sing rock and roll. You see, they still have no understanding of the worship, the holiness, the righteousness of God. They are anthropological. They are man-centered in their religion instead of theological, that is God-centered through the Word of God. And so they go down that precipice of deceit, which brings terrible results. It makes Satan happy, and it saddens the heart of God. Today, men take the church, the Bible, the name of God into their fortress, thinking they're going to set the parameters and control God. And that always leads to defeat. I've heard of evangelists that take the Word of God. They'll go to a church, and that church uses a different version of the Bible. And so they use a version of the Bible that that church uses. And then they might even find a completely different version that another church uses. But they do that so that the people will listen. As if the Word of God does not have power in it. As if the Holy Spirit cannot use His true preserved Word, which came through the Textus Receptus of the New Testament Greek and the Masoretic of the Old Testament Hebrew, and is preserved for English-speaking people today in the King James Version of the Bible. And so they think that it lacks power. And it probably, when they don't seek the Holy Spirit of God and they're willing to abandon this true doctrine of the preservation of the Word of God and preach a corrupted version to people, then no wonder these people have decided they are in control and they're trying to control God as to how He should do it, and not following God's will and way. Well, the ark was brought to the house of Dagon. And Dagon was the god of agriculture. If you look at chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "Wherefore ye shall make images of your emerods, and images of your mice, that mar the land, and ye shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Peradventure he will lighten his hand from off you, and from off your gods, and from off your land." Well, God is going to show them that is the people of Ashdod, He's going to show these people of the Philistines that their God is powerless. And so He uses a loathsome creature, the mouse, to destroy their agriculture. Now, God would not reveal His almighty power in behalf of a sinning Israel, but He would not allow His glory to be mocked by the paganistic nation. See, God is able to glorify his name without unrepentant Israel, without unrepentant churches, without unrepentant Christians. Now, God wants to use you to get his glory to his name, but he doesn't have to have you. If you go and sin, he's not going to use you. And you miss out on the eternal blessing because you have no vision for the eternal blessing. And realize that it is greater than any present blessing of this life. My friend, if the kingdom of God is not the most real thing in your life as a Christian, I said thing, not person, because Christ is the most real person. But the kingdom of God is not the most real thing in your Christian life, then you're not going to lay up for it, as God tells us to through his word. Now, Dagon, the god itself, that image, had neither captured the ark nor defeated Israel. The ark is the property of Yahweh. It is merely a pattern of the heavenly Holy of Holies. And that's why God told Moses to make it in a pattern after that, but it wasn't the actual Holy of Holies of heaven. It was just a pattern of it. God's presence is not confined to the ark. But because the ark was taken, does not mean that God abandoned it. Now, by the way, Israel was without a land for over 1,900 years. Did God abandon the Jew? No. But he did chasten them, and he brought them back. What other land, what other country, what other people went from their land for 1,900 years and now they've come back? You see, that is the hand of God. So Israel suffered. They suffered defeat. But God emerges victorious. Now, we're not told if the Philistines looked inside the ark. If they did, they would have seen Aaron's rod that budded, the manna, and the tables of stone with the Ten Commandments. Now, those things would not be pleasing to the eye as the gold of the outside, and yet, we'll see later when Israel looks on the inside in the next chapter that multitudes of them die. Oh, why didn't the Philistines die? Because they're not the children of God. They're not the children of God. They've not been warned as were the Israelites. And so God chastens his own. And he says, but if you are without chastisement, then you're none of his. He says, you're bastards and not sons. Well, the Israelites were the sons, but not the Philistines. And so that's why he doesn't chasten them in that place. And so they look at this box, and the gold of the outside of it is pleasing, but not the inside of the box. It's a beautiful box. But set by Dagon in this temple, it would show the superiority of Dagon. But also, it would add another god to their religion. You know, the beauty of the box. Men look today for churches that have outward appeal. Sometimes it's contemporary worship. It's the emerging church group. Sometimes it's the people that think they're intellectual, really not. They think it is, and Calvinism, all that. How could it be intellectual when it's so wrong? And it appeals to the flesh. Sometimes they go to good churches, but they go there because it has a youth program or some other kind of a program, rather than, is this where God wants me? And see, that affects them more. That affects them more, these things, the outward appearance, and not the inward. It is like being more intrigued by the binding of gold and genuine leather than you are by the contents of the Bible. But if we are to worship God, he must be worshiped alone, in spirit and in truth, and it must always, always, always be his way. It must always be God's way. Now, again, verses 3 through 5 of chapter 5, he says, "And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Therefore neither the priest of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon." And they didn't do that, it says, in Ashdod, even unto this day. Now, as you read verse 3 that we just read, aren't you glad we have a God that helps us up instead of one that I must help up? This Dagon falls flat forward, and instead of getting up himself, their people have to lift him up. Now, my friend, you can wear a crucifix next to your chest, but I have a living God inside my chest. Some think they are sacred, yet if that thing is so sacred, why is it when it gets bent or gets broken or melted, they buy a new one? I recently received a letter from a prisoner. I didn't know the prisoner, but he mailed me from one of the prisons here in the state of Florida. Said the chaplain said, "I need to get a cross with the chain," and he gave me the place to buy the cross and chain. And it was going to cost close to $30. And we don't do that, okay? We don't do that. Well, they had to help their God back up on his feet. Isn't that interesting? When my God was broken on the cross, men just buried him away in a ground in a tomb. But he arose on his own without man's help. Well, the second night after setting up Dagon, he falls again. This time he hits the threshold, and the threshold becomes a chopping block. His head and the palms of his hands are cut off. Why not his feet? Because the stump of Dagon refers to the fishy part in the Hebrew. In other words, archaeologists tell us this god, the top half was human, the bottom half, fish. It had no feet. And again, kind of like a mermaid. And that's why I titled chapter 5, God and the Mermaid.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.